RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Steamy Friday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
Steamy Rainy Friday Val and
Steamy Air Conditioning Broke Beans.
There's nothing worse than sitting in a computer chair when your air conditioning's broke and you're sticking to it.
Yeah, I'm sticking to my chair. Just that visual should make everybody so happy. But I did get my hair cut yesterday, so at least I don't have so much hair to deal with because...
Good for you.
I mean, you know how that feels, right, Frank? Having so much hair.
Buzzing. Just buzz it all off.
Somebody the other day said that they really need to add your picture to our quick clips on Twitter. And I said, absolutely. I think they should add his picture too. And then that person said, I'd really like to see Frank's hair. And somebody else chimed in and said, what hair?
like from what, 2001 or something like that? I can send you a picture from 2001. I've been shaving it ever since then.
My husband
then it became no choice.
My husband started shaving his head too. I think he looks so good. I like a bald man.
So much better.
He looks great. I'm like, wow, you look really good like this. And he's like, I hate it. But now he's getting used to it. So it was so, I'll tell a quick funny story because it has nothing to do with politics. And we're going to talk about that for an hour. When I got married, my husband, I guess the morning of our wedding, he did his hair himself. He did his own hair, and he accidentally, when he was trim, I guess he was, I don't know how he did it, but he didn't have the thing on the buzzer, like the clip that goes on it.
The adjuster.
And he had one on that was just like so low that he wasn't used to it. He ends up shaving his head the day of our wedding, and he had never been like that before. And he called me, he was so upset. And I'm like, here I am, you know, like that's your biggest problem. you're going to hate it.
You not know that, you know, if you put it down low, it's only going to give you ever going to give you just one.
He was so nervous. He just messed up. He was so nervous the day we got married. So nervous. It was so cute because the way me and my husband met was completely unorthodox. Also, my friend at the time was a huge Yankee fan. And we were on socials on MySpace, and I was always busting her chops about the Yankees because I was the big Met fan. And he would come in and come to my defense to support me in my bashing of the Yankees. And because he was really good friends with my friend that I had never met him before. And that's how I met my husband. So he was a very shy guy. He like very shy, very much to himself. Like it's just very weird how we ended up together. We're polar opposites. I'm always out and bouncing around and talking to people. He's always hiding in the corner. It's really weird. But anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's how Lauren is a little. Well, she's not hiding in the corner, but she's always a little bit more reserved and lets me take the lead in public.
Yeah.
And
she's my husband, actually. It's funny.
Yeah.
Like, well, I've met her several times. She's beautiful. And she's a great, just you feel her energy. She's just so awesome. She's such a great person. And she is very much like that. She's very much like, hi. And she just doesn't say much, you know.
Well, she just got back from the doctor's right now, and I got to see. She had another scan, so I got to see another couple of snapshots of Aurora's face. Ooh. Oh my gosh!
Can you hold it up? Do you have it with you?
No, it's upstairs.
Ah, but oh, that's so great. Gosh. You're getting there. I mean, it's only two more months.
Oh, less than that.
Oh, holy moly!
Less than that.
That's so fantastic.
I know.
I'm going to lose you for how many weeks?
I don't know. Maybe a week or two. I don't know. Like even with my show, I'm not going to, maybe for about a week and a half, I'm not going to write a nighttime show, but I'll still go live, like from the back porch at 7 o'clock and just freewheel. I would not be pleasant to be around for anybody if my life really came to a stop like that in a creative or professional sense. So I figured this will be a really easy way of sinking into and transitioning into something new. I won't have to do any of that writing throughout the day, but still I can sit back at 7 and just freewheel for a bit, which is, you know, easy. Walk onto the back porch and take 45 minutes.
So. Yeah, that's good stuff. And probably the baby will be sleeping anyway. So,
yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Now that we've got all those pleasantries aside, I want to thank everybody for the happy birthday wishes. It was very nice to hear. Thank you, Frank, for saying happy birthday. It was a great day. I am very thrilled that I'm 40 years old and I can take the world by its heels and we can beat these mother effers together. Don't forget, Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, I start my radio show on WSMN 1590, WSMN 95.3 in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Which you can hear live on the internet from their website. I think it's WSMN1590.com. So excited.
Tracy Beans turning New England red.
Yeah, it's my goal. Let's see what we could do. See what we could do. And I got a bunch of stuff to talk to you about today, even though I tried to take it easy yesterday. Never works. We had a release of some really amazing information that we all kind of knew, but came out anyway. The memo from the briefing, the briefing that was given by Joseph Pienka to Michael Flynn, General Flynn, President Trump or candidate Trump at the time, and Chris Christie, of all people, was declassified. And it is very clearly a setup. It's purely an investigative action. It is not a defensive briefing of any kind. Joseph Pienka went on in there. He documented the entire thing. Some interesting stuff happened during there. He was one of the top agents in Crossfire Hurricane Pienka and on the Clinton email case as well. He developed the briefing materials that they used in coordination with Peter Strzok, who we all know, and Kevin Kleinsmith.
Oh.
Kevin Kleinsmith is that FBI lawyer that altered the email related to Carter Page and the FISA and that he was not a source for the CIA. He actually was one, but he changed all the language and forwarded it across to make it look like he wasn't. It makes me think that Peter Strzok, Pienka, and Kleinsmith were in it all together, and he was directed to make that email the way it was, because there's no way he just figured he'd do that on his own. So there was a small group here that knew what was going on, clearly knew, and Peter Strzok, Pienka, and Kleinsmith were in it, right? So Radcliffe declassified this. He sent it along with Pienka's notes to Grassley and Johnson, the only two senators worth a salt in the intelligence world anyway that I can come up with off the top of my head. You know, obviously Lindsey Graham declassified some stuff last week, but I really wish that Grassley was still sitting at the head of the Judiciary Committee.
Is this the end of his last term? Did he say that he's retiring?
No, he said he's taking the Judiciary Committee back.
Why did I think that Grassley was leaving politics?
I don't know.
Okay, never mind.
As far as I knew anyway, and I could be wrong. I mean, the last I saw a couple months ago was that Graham was wanting to give back the committee to Grassley, who runs it like he's just a treasure, Grassley. I don't know why Graham was given this committee for 2 years.
I don't know.
Bad news.
Very bad.
So far, I mean, he hasn't done much of anything that he could have been doing. But again, I don't like to come down too hard on him, because as this stuff wheels out, there's obviously, we're noting that there's no need for it investigatively anymore. So I'm going to go through the rest of this, obviously. But we had Adam Housley, who's a former reporter for Fox, who tweets out little tidbits. He's not a reporter anymore, but he still gets information. And he said that his sources tell him that Peter Strzok is talking. And Robin Gritz chimes in underneath and says he's not the only one, 8 to 10 others.
Oh, Robin's still got some friends on the inside, I see.
Looks that way. And
8 to 10 others.
That's what she
said. Have you speculated as to who that could be?
I mean, it could be anybody. It could be anybody that was lower-ish level or kind of under the radar or, you know, because they're probably looking and saying to these lower level guys that really didn't have anything to do with it, in quotes, you know, they weren't actually, like creating it, but they were foot soldiers. They're probably looking to pin everything on them, right? They're telling them, you don't tell us what's going on. You're the one going down for sedition. You want to go down for sedition?
Oh, please.
Listen, this is what we've been getting for a long time. So again, multiple sources. Strzok is working with investigators. He isn't the only one. And then Robin Gritz, at least 8 to 10 are. Now, I don't think this is new. I don't think that all of a sudden yesterday he started talking to Durham. Strzok.
Okay.
I really don't. I trust me. They're making it seem like this investigation has only been going on for like 6 months. That's not the case at all. So Ratcliffe sends this memo and the notes to Grassley and Johnson. This briefing was kind of unmasked, if you will, in the IG report. But the sole purpose of it here was for, was for them to get information on how Flynn was acting, which we knew. And the timing of it's really interesting. So August 17th is the day of the briefing. 17 days after the FBI opened the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, in quotes, on July 31st, 2016. And 9 days after the Struck Page will stop him text. 2 days after the insurance policy text, as per Catherine Herridge. When Struck was questioned by the IG, he dismissed that those texts were evidence of bias. But it doesn't.
You know what's funny? You lay out just even, and that's an incomplete timeline of how much stuff there's in there to show just how these people were coordinating with each other to try to craft and reverse engineer the reality that they wanted everybody else to live through. That even goes through that even excludes the notes that we saw with the Flynn meeting and them going back and forth about how you can go on in there and conduct an interview without telling them it's an interview, but with still having the legal repercussions of lying to them held intact. You know, all that stuff that we have seen, and to think that for over a year, the chief bit of evidence that the left and their loyal news put on out there that Donald Trump was colluding with the Russians was that he made a joke in front of a gaggle of agents of the press. He made a joke. That was the chief bit of evidence there.
So during this briefing, a senior administration official, as per Herridge, says the August 2016 briefing was apparently part of the so-called insurance policy to ensure an outcome that would block then candidate Trump. The defensive briefer admits gathering questions or issues related to the Russian Federation. And significantly, the briefing notes are filed under the FBI Russia probe, Crossfire Hurricane, and the FBI probe into General Flynn, dubbed Crossfire Razor. So they filed this in the Crossfire Hurricane section, not underneath regular just briefings for presidential candidates that they get. And it's interesting, you can read in these documents, and they talk, hold on 1 second.
So you're talking about a website?
Yes, I have the document, the actual electronic communication document in front of me that goes over what some of the things say. They give a very basic summary that it's General Flynn sitting there. Like, obviously he knows this crap. You know what I mean? And they say, you know, there's three main ways that they'll collect intelligence. There's HUMINT, there's SIGINT, and then there is, you know, electronic hacking or whatever. And Trump asks Joe Pienka, are the Russians bad because they have more numbers? Are they worse than the Chinese? And he responds by saying both are bad. The number of the IOs or agents present in the United States is not an indicator of the severity of the threat. And reminded Trump that the Chinese asymmetrical presence in the U.S. redacted.
Which we know is so dire.
Yeah. And, you know, Trump knew China was bad. So anyone trying to spin this, like, see, he doesn't want to give the Russians any. He wants to give the Russians a pass. He clearly, that's not what this is about. Then Flynn asks, how many special agents are in the FBI? And Joe told Flynn he thought there were about over 10,000. Flynn states, you have 17,000. In other words, Pienka had no idea how many agents were in the FBI. And Flynn corrects him and says how many there are. And then Flynn asks, how many HVE cases does the FBI have? And Joe Pienka says that the FBI has approximately blank HVE cases, a counterterrorism center. A statistic backed up by John Mulligan, deputy chief of the National Counterterrorism Center. Flynn then speaks to Trump and says, see, they don't have enough resources to work the FVE threat and the IOs, meaning they can't work both kinds of cases. They don't have enough staff. So Flynn is immediately pointing out the problems with the situation that he's being briefed on. Like, why they can't respond to it. Flynn is deducing, okay, President Trump, this is what we need to do to fix it already in this briefing. Then they ask if it's worse now than in the Cold War. They say the number of identified known and suspected IOs from hostile foreign intelligence services posted in the U.S. are equal to or greater than during the Cold War. And then they said something, they said you have to watch what kind of communications you use. Don't use email. Don't, be careful with your email use. Be careful with your cell phone use. They were basically telling them that they were going to be spied on by foreigners. But in actuality, it was their own government. Excuse my French. What time is it? 15:30. I got to remove that.
Yeah.
There was their own government. I'm going to be in trouble on Tuesday. I got to be careful.
You got to be very careful. Lord. You have to have a woosah moment before you actually go live. You got to say a little prayer.
If I get frustrated at all, it's become very bad. Okay. So then President Trump offers up a really interesting little tidbit here. Flynn interjects and says he's done signals intelligence, and the Joe Pienka responds that he could appreciate then what our country can do technically to exploit a tier one target and how we have to extrapolate a foreign intelligence service could do the same to us. And Trump says, yeah, I understand it's a dark time. Nothing is safe on computers anymore. We used to lock things in a safe in a room. Now anyone can get in. My son is 10 years old. He has a computer and we put a code word on it. Within 10 minutes, he broke the code word and we needed to put another one on the computer. Kids are genius. So Barron is a genius computer guy. In other words, President Trump.
Barron's a time traveler. So
he is back from whatever time in the past. Barron, or actually, a code word. That's what President Trump calls a password, right? So President Trump does not use electronics at all. I'm telling you, he probably doesn't have an email account. He's never sent anything electronically himself. He probably still writes notes down and has people burn them afterwards. And I think that is brilliant in today's day and age. Probably has a cell phone, obviously, but he doesn't use it for texting, I can almost guarantee. I think he's very, very much... aware.
What percentage of his tweeting do you think he does personally?
I think he does 90% of his own tweeting.
90? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's somebody running his Twitter account for. He tweets on a whim. He tweets like we do, or I do anyway. Sometimes I delete things. You have no idea. I should make a folder of all the tweets that have been deleted before they've been posted.
Oh, I delete tons of tweets even after I post it.
I can't.
No, depending on what it is, if it's, if I think that I go through my timeline at the end of the day, I see things are either redundant, I get rid of redundancies, things that have already been said better in the past, or if I get rid of things that I think that I can actually say a lot better on the show. It's never usually because I regret what I said, but I want to bring it to another forum. Yeah. Twitter is just not the best place for a lot of conversations.
Well, I guess. Yeah. I mean, Twitter sucks. They should be taking down all the accounts that have spread the Russia conspiracy for years at this point. So this came out yesterday. I mean, that's it, really. I think Brian had some. Can you hold on just a second? Hold on.
Sure.
I'm getting a phone call. So the next thing I wanted to play for you is something that, I mean, I was almost going to open up the show with this and just let it play without even doing an introduction, because it's that crazy. You ready?
Yeah, what is it?
This is a Fox News alert. There are new findings tonight in the search for extraterrestrial life. The New York Times reporting that a secretive Pentagon unit tasked with investigating UFO sightings is quite likely releasing some of its findings soon. And those findings could be stunning, particularly for people who have doubted the existence. The Pentagon has been conducting classified hearings on UFOs for more than a decade. We know very little about what they've found. But apparently, just recovered are off-world vehicles not made on this Earth. That's a direct quote. We're not exactly sure what they mean by that, but some of it's self-evident. So it's a big story, and we are scouring through the reporting on it right now. We'll bring you much more right here tomorrow night.
Well,
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that, Tucker Carlson?
It was always, whether it's real or not, it was always going to be the last card. And I am, as much as I want to talk about it, and as much as I want this to be real, I also want it to be genuinely for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And I just, with everything that we're coming up on right now, the rising level of chaos, you're just going over another little facet of the story of deep-seated government corruption, and that has not been addressed, and we're not even very close to getting to a conclusion on yet. And that is nothing compared to the other types of crimes against humanity that have not been really fully materialized before the public. And I'm talking about the human trafficking end of things and all the different dark tunnels and, the paths that whole story goes down. So for this to be coming out right now, it runs the risk of being a giant distraction from a lot of necessary unfinished business.
Yeah.
And that's just what worries the hell out of me.
Yeah. There's nothing genuine if the New York Times has this story, right? Just don't mind the background noise. If you guys can hear it, the kind gentleman who's here to fix my air conditioner is up here. So you might hear him talking with my husband. But the New York Times has the story, just some quotes. Eric W. Davis, an astrophysicist, said that in some cases, examination of the materials had so far failed to determine their source and led him to conclude, quote, we couldn't make it ourselves. And Mr. Davis, who now works for Aerospace Corporation, a defense contractor, said he gave a classified briefing to a Defense Department agency as recently as March about retrievals from off-world world vehicles not made on this earth. Senator Rubio said some of the identified aerial vehicles over U.S. bases possibly exhibited technologies not in the American arsenal. But he also noted, I'm a swamp rat who will hide everything and anything from the people. No, that's not the quote.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a completely sort of boring explanation for it, but we need to find out. Yeah, boring explanation for astrophysicists finding substances never seen on Earth before.
even if that is, I mean, it's not even boring if you say, hey, we discovered 5 new elements. You know, there's nothing about this that is boring. You are lifting the veil on something that is mysterious and something I think would but then again, it was funded by people like Harry Reid. It was jockeyed for years for people by people like the Clintons and the Podestas. Now you have this To the Stars organization that is leading the charge on all this crap. And I don't know. And you know me, I love talking about the issue. I hate the hands that it's in. New York Times, since we're talking a little bit about Russia and frame jobs and taking the country for a ride, the New York Times is the outlet that got the Pulitzer Prize for pushing that horse hockey for 3 years.
And the article they won the Pulitzer Prize on was debunked by the sources they say that they used to write it. I mean,
yeah. So let's follow them down the UFO path.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of that, it's a good little segue. Jordan Sather is like a known UFO guy in communities around the world, I guess.
Indeed.
And Richard Grenell retweeted him the other day, which caused a firestorm because, of course, you know, when former Trump officials of high integrity retweet anybody other than the approved list of people, that they're Will Sommer crawls out of the woodwork, that little kiki. I did a rally. It was to declassify the memo back in 2018. It was called Operation Justice, A March for Transparency. You were there.
Yeah.
It was when we met the president. Anyway.
Well, we were in the same room. I was in the same room as him. It's funny you bring that up because I was wondering just over the weekend. I know I uploaded that video of him walking down his little the staircase at Trump International, walking out and saying hello to the crowd. And I was only like 7 feet away. And I know I uploaded it to at least Twitter, but I don't have that video anywhere.
Oh, I have mine.
I don't have it.
Mine has been played over and over with people attributing a voice that is not mine to me. That's annoying. Anyway, I'm recording it, and it sucks that you don't have yours. But anyway, this Will Sommer guy from the Daily Beast came to my little rally and stood there live tweeting falsities about it the entire time it went on. He follows people around to try and trash them. That is like his entire existence is trashing people on the right. And so he came after Grinnell and accused Jordan of doing something in regards to Chrissy Teigen or calling her a baby eater or something like that. And I'm like, I wrote back to him. I said, Sommer, she literally said that if she could, she would eat babies. Like, she wrote that. Like, she typed those words, and we shared the tweet. She also said she would, you know, she has thoughts of sexual acts with children doing splits. Are you going to condone that?
She's also on Netflix saying that if she was given permission, she would eat human meat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She made the host of that episode of Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner very, very uncomfortable.
She also talked about a threesome with Barack Obama and John Legend in the middle of a red carpet thing.
That was the implication?
Yes.
Because that was about public sex. And she said, I guess it would be the Obama thing. I thought that was just like the Obama event. I didn't know if it was a threesome with Obama.
No. The way I listened to it, it was that her and him had a relationship in some way with the Obamas.
I can see John Legend and not forget about it.
Legend was so embarrassed. Like, can you imagine walking around with that crazy woman next to you all the time and not knowing what she's going to say?
Oh, you can tell. You can tell that he was like, this woman is a liability.
Yeah.
And she is. She is. She so badly wants to talk to people about her real interests. You can tell.
Yeah, and she has all these tweets. Of course, that's ignored. And then Swalwell hops in yesterday on a different tweet and calls Grinnell a Nazi. And
there's another guy I want to punch in the throat.
And then Dave Rubin comes in and defends him and says, you're out of your mind. This guy has done more for Jews and gay people and blah, blah, blah than it. And he goes, so you're not disputing that he's a Nazi then? Because he didn't say he's not a Nazi. And I'm like, this is a member of Congress. This is a member of Congress on the left. This is what we're dealing with.
That's why when I hear Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez read onto the congressional record that somebody else may have called her an effing bee, I say to myself, even if that is true.
Who cares?
You are part of a group. You represent a movement and an ideology and a gaggle of people, at least inside a government and in society, that is so devoid of class that this should have been some kind of a weird bonding moment between you.
You should
and
be
whoever.
Happy.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
What did Rashida Tlaib say? We're going to impeach the MF.
Yep.
Somebody calls AOC an effing B and she
freaks out about it. She's aghast.
Come on.
Give me a break.
You should be happy we're down on your level now. Now you can say whatever the hell you want.
Didn't stop them before.
No.
So there's the Portland craziness going on here. I have a writer for Uncover DC who was very high up in Customs and Border Patrol, just recently retired, who's writing a piece about what that group is doing in Portland and how they operate and what their job is, et cetera, so on and so forth, that we can hopefully publish either tomorrow or the next day. But federal forces are now in Portland, and we have the mayor of Portland joining in the riots with a gas mask on, basically helping. They're burning down a federal courthouse, and everybody's saying that Trump is an authoritarian for sending federal forces in, federal police, to support their federal buildings and keep them safe. I have a clip here that I want to play. It was Harris Faulkner pushing back against someone on the left saying that there's like anonymous stormtroopers coming into Portland. She makes a really good point, and I wanted to play that clip for you right now. Here.
and free, peaceable assembly at stake that are being completely run roughshod over. And if you have to have a security detail to walk through the streets of a major, beautiful American city, then you have a real constitutional issue at play here. That while, you know, nobody wants to see federal officers going into American cities, but, you know, this raises a lot of those questions that throughout our history, federal action has been required to fix.
Marie Har?
Yeah, Harris, it's been so interesting to hear all these conservatives who have railed against federal action and have talked about letting states handle their own business, now cheering President Trump sending in anonymous federal agents into American cities. They are violating people's due process in many cases. They are arresting people in unmarked rented vans. And the presence of these anonymous federal agents is making things worse.
So anonymous federal agents is now the new talking point. It used to be stormtroopers. That didn't go over too well. So they've now switched to anonymous federal agents. Here we go.
So, you know, we've seen, I should say, from so many of the videos and pictures that people who are peacefully protesting are being targeted by these federal officers. And so, you know, they really need to be pulled back. They're not accountable. People don't even know who they're being arrested by when these anonymous officers go after them. And that is a huge problem in this country, Harris.
I have a responsibility to step in on that end because I have been talking with leadership at DHS. And we know that DHS and the Department of Justice, per the president, are looking to handle this situation in a way that protects all Americans. So I do want to press back a little bit on terming them as anonymous federal officers. The markings on them are clear.
The videos don't bear that out, Harris, though.
Let me finish.
The videos don't bear that out.
Yeah, actually, they do. You can see the logoing on them. You can see the specific, and it's nighttime. And I'm not going to argue with you about what people per individual perspective can see, Marie, because I think that that's not a helpful period of time between us, because we don't know the answer to that question. But when I look, I'm looking specifically for those things that I've been told to look for. I'm not finding what Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez has called for, and that is their last names. That's a separate discussion that we can get into. But I wanted to clear that up. I got to tell you legally, though, Emily, I'm really curious about how the...
And it goes on, like, not the clip, but the article goes on to explain that she really pushes back against this kind of, this kind of like narrative that the left is trying to pull. You know, again, we have the mayor of Portland.
Wheeler,
yeah. So we have Wheeler out there. Do you want to listen to that clip?
Yeah, I guess so. He also pushed on out there that the DHS was authorized to use live rounds too, right?
I don't know. I didn't see that myself.
He was pushing around a live round rumor last night, I believe.
Here, this is the mayor of Portland in like huge goggles in the middle of a riot, like standing there with Antifa dressed like them. I mean, seriously.
I can tell you with 100% honesty, I saw nothing that provoked this response.
He says he saw nothing that provoked this response. Well, there are literal flashbangs going off from Antifa rioters behind him. They're literally firebombing things in the same shot as this guy. Like, talk about gaslighting. I don't even want to play the whole thing. I'm just going to get angry. Well, let me see. I think we need to.
It's nasty stuff. I'm not afraid, but I am pissed off. Egregious overreaction on the part of the federal officers. There was nothing that I signed with it that warranted this reaction. And all it's doing is
you can hear them in the background destroying fencing around the federal building.
I said it twice. Yesterday I said it twice. I said it feels like when you listen to these people conduct their I don't know, conduct their business, which is all, it's just fantasy. When you listen to these people talk and pretend and LARP on television like Ted Wheeler does, I almost feel like we wake up every day and we are just constantly bombarded with watching deleted scenes from the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah, it feels like that.
It's really, it's parody. You know, the please disperse while he's standing in front of a, nothing to see here. He's standing in front of a fireworks factory that's exploding. And I'm, now here's the whole thing with me. Marie Harf is that Alinskyite kind of trashy person who will stand there and lie about the reality of things and then hold you to all in very snarky, passive aggressive ways, hold you and challenge you to keep all of your past convictions so that they can continue to destroy and maim people and allow people and their businesses and their livelihoods to be shattered in irreparable ways and lie about it the entire way. Now, I know that she's out there and she's playing that psychological game with the rest of the people in her, really in the death cult that she belongs to. But the thing here is that, I mean, it is a very dangerous game that's being played right now, because anything that the president does to go out of the way to go on in there, and I know that you can say, well, it's federal property and they're going to be out there and they're going to be figuring out how to protect federal property. All right. I can understand that much. But to go beyond that and to start sending out people all throughout the United States and help assist with local policing and help, you know, help investigate murders and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure in places like Portland, in states like Illinois, murder on a state level is still illegal. And it really, to me, it still is the best thing. To let everybody see what the left actually is.
Well, part of that clip actually that they cut off was Harris Faulkner asking her what Republican cities are burning to the ground like this. Name one.
Oh yeah, she couldn't. I saw that.
Yeah, she couldn't name one, and so like she's like, oh well, it's because of President Trump. No, these cities have been under Democrat rule for decades. It's not, there's no Republican.
You would think, Tracy, you know why that's stupid? Because if it's because of President Trump that this is happening, then Republican cities should be the worst, because that is where President Trump and people who think like him, their will and their way of life is more naturally expressed. There is no whiff of Republican or conservative traditional American values in these Democrat run cities. There's no whiff of it. Minnesota, Minneapolis, there's not a whiff.
Nope.
The minority political party seat holders on the city council in Minneapolis are not Republicans. They're Green Party members, which means they're probably more left than the Democrats are.
Yeah.
You know, so it's ridiculous mind play, even with Marie Harf saying that, well, you know, this is because of President Trump it's happening. No, President Trump's influence is not being felt in these cities at all. It's Democrats attacking Democrats, Democrats destroying Democrat-owned businesses. It's Democrat politicians standing with Democrat rioters. I mean,
literally standing there with them, not even figuratively.
Yeah,
literally standing. It's Mayor de Blasio. I mean, just listen. Yeah, it's great. It's great stuff to see all of this, you know, it's not great stuff. I mean, it's sarcastically, but it's great to see the Democrats do this to all their cities. And yeah, absolutely. It's a how can I say it? It's an indictment on leftism, right? And yeah, we maybe should. But if there's a federal crime going on here where Barr's FBI is investigating the federal organization of Antifa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or if there's foreign interference here, which there have been hints, very, 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 very distinct hints that this is being funded by China. Okay.
No, Tracy, I will agree with you on that one. And it is a caveat I have carved out a couple of times, that whereas I am of letting people in Seattle and Portland leave them alone to bear all of their disdain down on those in power that they elected directly that are allowing this, even promoting this to go on. Allow that disdain not to be split between Ted Wheeler and President Trump's response. Let it all be on Ted Wheeler. But on the other hand, another appropriate reason why federal agents or marshals would be inside of a city like Portland is if, of course, it is part of an investigation that is interstate and international. And we know that this is not organically generated chaos. So.
We sure do. And from there, I wanted to change subjects a little bit and get into the lawsuit. Hold on. Oh, this was another Portland thing I needed to talk about. Byron York did a memo that the left is now talking about how what President Trump is doing in Portland is a prelude to martial law, an authoritarian president who will not accept the outcome of the election. And it goes on. I'm going to put this in the show notes so that you guys can read it. The Washington Post, quote, there are significant forces, including military, National Guard, FBI, that would probably oppose any outright effort by Trump to declare something like martial law and cancel the election outcome. This is where they're going with this nonsense.
Cancel the LA. These are the people who got all of their friends in Hollywood to put together videos begging electors in the Electoral College to go faithless in 2016 and not confirm the vote.
These are the same people begging their, well, first of all, that don't believe in the American justice system at all, who convict people in the court of public opinion, destroy their reputations before they even have a chance, who lock up political, you know, political enemies, who destroy their rights, who spy on political campaign, and they have the gall to talk about President Trump being authoritarian.
They accused, they launched a months long campaign against Brett Kavanaugh.
Yes.
Pretty much accusing him of raping half of the state of Maryland as a high schooler.
Yeah.
With no evidence. And Christine Blasey Ford has had a very peaceful existence ever since. And she's at least $1 million richer.
And then there's what they're doing to Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. And there is basically the crumbling of this lawsuit at this point. There's an article in Spectator. It says the crumbling lawsuit against Fox News. And it goes through some of the problems with this lawsuit that was filed. Did you read it by chance?
No.
Okay. So it is Arayu, I think is how you say her name. She's that feminist we've played on the show before that's been on Tucker's show, who's just absolutely... You've remarked about her. She was the one...
She was the one talking about misogynist meat eating?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. No, this is... not okay. This is funny that you bring her up, because I had set aside a couple, including my original rants about her, because she is a perfect example of how feminism and dark side energies rots a person. She has aged 35 years in the last 3 years.
She's
gray and sagging.
She's wearing an Antifa hat in one of her Twitter profile.
She's a nut.
So she filed a lawsuit against Tucker and Hannity in this lawsuit that accuses Ed Henry of rape. Okay. In the lawsuit, all the things that she lays out that Tucker Carlson did are debunked completely by the parties weren't on the same dates as she say they were. Like, she appeared on the show after she said she didn't appear anymore. As of last week, she had as her banner picture a picture of her and Tucker Carlson. After the lawsuit was filed, that picture remained. If you were so upset and hurt and angry at somebody for sexually harassing you or whatever she's accusing them of doing, you think that you would have, like, something else is your header picture on Twitter. Like, all of the claims in the lawsuit are debunked completely just by open source digging into when these things happened, who was there, who saw it, et cetera, so on and so forth. So the Spectator did a fantastic article about this. Again, I'm just going to write this down real quick, make sure that it's in the show notes for you. But I would read it. It's the new lawsuit filed by two women against Fox News and several of its personalities is riddled with inaccuracies. This raises questions about the veracity of its claims. Jennifer Eckhart and Kathy Arreu, a former business producer and frequent network guest, respectively, claim that they've suffered sexual misconduct, harassment, and even rape at the hands of Ed Henry, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, and Howard Kurtz. The lawsuit immediately made waves in the mainstream media, where it was picked up by the New York Times, CNN, The Washington Post, CBS News, and other major outlets. It has been a trending topic on Twitter since its filing. However, a review of several claims made in the suit revealed many basic inaccuracies. A lawyer for Eckhart and Arreu admitted to The Spectator that errors were made in the filing, and The Spectator has learned that Carlson's wife was with him the evening Arreu claims that he told her he would be alone. Arreu says, he told me his wife and kids wouldn't be there. But on that date, there's evidence that his wife and kids were there with him. So there's so much more in here. I really recommend you guys read it. It is a complete repudiation of this ridiculous lawsuit.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that the meat-eating feminist is the one who made the accusation?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. She was on his show like dozens of times. You remember her?
And on Jesse Waters' show. Jesse Waters was the one that actually carved up the steak with her on the set.
Let me just make sure it's her real quick. I'm 90.
I don't know. Because I saw the picture. I know I saw the picture of the woman accusing, making these accusations. And she had, I saw her face, but I didn't recognize it.
Eating meat perpetuates toxic masculinity. Tucker versus a vegan feminist. No, it's not her. It's not her.
I knew it.
I could have sworn it was her. See? A mistake live on air. Tracy Beans is not infallible.
There's something about the eyes that would make you think that, I think. But I started saying, wait, no, wait.
No, this it's a different person, but she's just as bad, honestly.
Oh, yeah, no, she's horrid.
So this one here looks like, listen, the lawsuit's bunk. I mean, it's bunk, and it's a shame because I actually, they cut out the text messages between this other chick and Henry, right? You can't see her part of the conversation. The large bulk of this seems very consensual. Like, this one was having a very kinky, consensual, like, domination sort of relationship with him. And she was all fine with it until she wasn't fine with it anymore. And I don't doubt her. In his case, it doesn't seem like she's lying about it, because after that incident happened, there's documentation of, her avoiding him and all kinds of other things. Like, there's no reason for her to start randomly avoiding him unless he told her, I can't get you a promotion. And then she was like, what do I need you for? You know what I mean? I don't know. But some of the things he said to her were just disgusting. I mean, who am I to get in the way of two consenting adults and how they talk to one another? But if those accusations are real, my first question was, why didn't she go to law enforcement? Like, he forcibly raped this woman as per her. Why are you waiting a year and then going to file a civil suit? I don't know.
But this is why you can't, whatever you do, especially if you are an American man, it is very important. Everybody says there's politics has truly infected everything. And I know from my buddies that are still using dating apps and stuff like that.
God.
And they have they say, dude, it's getting bad out there. More and more people want to know politics right up front. I say, well, hey, listen, that's a good thing right now, because no matter who you are, man, woman, if you are going to get involved with a leftist, mm-hmm. you need to know quickly, because you cannot trust them.
No, none of them.
Trust them. You can't.
And you know
anything that they're down for today, they will turn into a cudgel the next day. You can't do it. I mean, that's how they ripped the country apart for a year or two with their 1 in 5 college rape numbers. The way that they compiled those statistics were ridiculous.
You
had a hookup.
Yeah, I mean, and the only good thing out of it is hopefully we will stop producing liberals for a while and kind of even it out a little bit, you know. Conservatives can procreate.
Gonna have to have a lot more babies.
Kind of leads me to my next thing that I wanted to go over today. It's really good. I don't know if you saw it. It's Ryan Long comedy, When Wokes and Racists Actually Agree on Everything. It is very smart. And I want you to listen very carefully because it can fly over your head if you're not listening to it correctly. But I want to play it. It's like a minute and 23 seconds long. There is one guy. And you know what might be good? It might be good to try and pick out who's the racist and who's the woke progressive. Because if you're not seeing it, they're wearing shirts that say their titles on them. But if you're not seeing it, you might not know, which is the point of the skit. Let's listen.
When me and Brad first met, I didn't think we'd get along, but turns out we kind of agree on everything. Your racial identity is the most important thing. Everything should be looked at through the lens of race.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Damn.
We both have a lot of opinions about people of color, even though we barely know any.
I say colored people, but as long as we're classifying them, we both think minorities are a united group who think the same and act the same.
And vote the same. You don't want to lose your black card.
Sorry, I don't know. I just think we should roll back discrimination law so we can hire based on race again. Jinx, now you owe me a Coke. Hey, tell them what you told me yesterday.
White actors should only do voices for white cartoon characters.
Saying that for years. Stick to your own.
Us white people, we have so much privilege.
I agree. It is a privilege to be white. Ask him about interracial dating.
All I said is that black men who date white women have internalized racism, and white men that date ethnic women are fetishizing them.
Guy's against interracial dating now. Like, am I being pranked? Did Boomer put you up to this?
Ugh, you know that taco place is white owned?
White people should be making white foods like Kraft macaroni and cheese, no seasoning, not even salt. It's like he's a mind reader. I mean, I've been pushing for segregation forever, and my man does what?
I created an improv comedy show exclusively for ethnic people.
Guy segregates comedy on my birthday.
White people need to stop wearing dreadlocks and they need to stop appropriating black people's music.
Shaved heads and country music the way God intended.
You know all white people are racist.
I'm listening.
Even if you have a black wife or a black friend group, you're still really racist.
You know, we just kicked a guy out of the organization for having a black girlfriend, but if you can promise me he's still really racist, we'll consider letting him back in.
Black people should only shop at black businesses. I guess the only thing we really disagree about is I think white people are the root of all evil.
But what did I tell you though, if we can narrow that down to a certain group of tiny hatted white people, I think we can come to an understanding.
Technically, I don't consider Jewish people white.
Neither do I.
How genius.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, genius.
Oh, yeah. See, that's like, you know, that's why I know, you know, people get it. There are people who get it. So it always really just comes down to how do we make the Jim Acostas and the Jake Tappers truly go away. I mean, it's those types that put this really, you know, this deceptive facade over everything. Most people see what's going on, and especially now with what you see, the chaos and the rising violence and in these especially mostly black communities, the rising violence, and this is all going on during a backdrop of trying to bring attention to police who are indiscriminately murdering and mowing down black people. They have been effectively removed from the situation, and the murder has never been worse. So if you're paying attention, reality is telling you the real story here of where, and there's a lot of people who are seeing this, especially those who are getting shot at funerals. They're looking around, they're saying, we're in danger here. We're in danger. And we're being used as a prop by a conglomerate of organizations that want to use us as a prop to, I don't know, destroy the country somehow. They want to actually wipe it all clean. What happened at the Major League Baseball opening day yesterday was
disgusting.
Was truly, truly disgusting.
Nobody's going to watch it anymore. I can't believe they did that, Frank, your team.
My team, this, nobody's going to escape this. You think that that was just a Yankee and a
Oh,
national?
No, I'm sure that it's going to be the Mets and everyone else.
Everybody. The entire opening
I couldn't
weekend.
Believe the Yankees did it, though. Like,
oh, I do.
Really?
They have been on the low, getting woker and woker the last 5 to 10 years. Do you know that every year that they give out a LGBT scholarship to one gay kid in every borough?
They genuflect
before the golden calf like that all the time now. So for this to be league wide, where you're putting the insignia of a openly Marxist organization whose leaders and whose organizers across the country are very proudly saying that they're working not only toward the abolition of American law enforcement and American law, but they're working toward the abolition of the United States, period.
And the family who would come to see your damn games if they were on, you know, if they were, that's who's coming to see the games. Just.
Yeah. So that's why I say that bullshit is being pushed by the big corporations. Those are the ones who are sponsoring it. Major League Baseball, the NFL, these are multi-billion dollar entities that are getting behind Marxism. And everyday people, they're seeing what the two that put together that comedy sketch are seeing.
Yeah.
And I just really hope that this results in a complete bottoming out of any kind of income for Major League Baseball. It's not representative of baseball, the sport, anyway. It's just the biggest monopoly. And I hate to see it because, you know, you get attached to a team. But then again, the people who wear the pinstripes for, if you're a Yankee fan, that's not your childhood anymore anyway. That's not, that was a completely different life. It's just a white suit with navy blue pinstripes on it. It's really nothing. And it's all gone. You know, they took it all away.
They ruined everything. They started with the replay. Everything has to be fair. Ruining the game of baseball. Ruining it. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, we're just not watching it this year. We're just not watching. So,
well, it's a 60 game season that I promise you is not even going to conclude. I promise you they're going to shut it all down again. First of all, they would not, if they intended to allow this to actually play out and conclude. You think that they would be playing in a stadium that was absolutely devoid of fans? There's nobody there. There's nobody there.
I know they have to pump fake crowd noise in.
And in Fauci, that comes on out after that quasi-religious LARP that we saw for the opening, which, by the way, the fact that Morgan Freeman lent his voice to that was very disturbing because he always had the freshest take on the obsession of racism in this country. He always had the freshest take.
He changed a lot.
What happened to him?
He changed a lot.
That I always used to go to that Morgan Freeman clip to remind myself that there are reasonable and awesome people in the world that can see this scam for what it is.
He did a whole thing on Russian collusion, a whole documentary he narrated on Russian collusion and how Russia has the presidency.
What happened? What happened to them all?
Let me just make sure again. Morgan Freeman, Russia document. Yeah, here. Hold on. Russia turns on Morgan Freeman over election war video. Here we go. Let me just make sure I pull this. Hold on. I'm going to pause it real quick. I want to pull it up. Here, Frank, I got it.
We have been attacked. We are at war. Imagine this movie script. A former KGB spy, angry at the collapse of his motherland, plots a course for revenge. Taking advantage of the chaos, he works his way up through the ranks of a post-Soviet Russia and becomes president. He establishes an authoritarian regime, then he sets his sights on his sworn enemy, the United States. And like the true KGB spy he secretly uses cyber warfare to attack democracies around the world. Using social media to spread propaganda and false information, he convinces people in democratic societies to distrust their media, their political processes, even their neighbors. And he wins. Vladimir Putin is that spy, and this is no movie script. We need our president to speak directly to us and tell us the truth. We need him to sit behind the desk in the Oval Office and say, my fellow Americans, during this past election, we came under attack by the Russian government. I've called on Congress and our intelligence community to use every resource available to...
There's another part of this where he like literally says that Trump was like working for Putin.
Well, tell me, you know, and here's the thing. This is why I'm happy that the president has pushed back on this and that so many people have gone out and done real investigative work into what actually happened here. Because if you take that bullshit story that a very, very sad version of Morgan Freeman just put on out there and you say, we need the president to sit behind the desk and say that this is what happened. You just told everybody this fairy tale of Vladimir Putin turning the entire country against each other and seeding disinformation to a point that would allow for Donald Trump to be elected.
Yeah.
So you're saying you want the president to go up and say, ladies and gentlemen, we've been attacked by Russia. And I'm sorry to say, but it was only because of Russia all of you thought that my candidacy was worthwhile. You know, so I may have won the election, but it's only because Russia convinced you I was worthwhile.
Right, right. Exactly. It's so funny that you say that. We're just going to end now, but we're going to end on a note from 4 o'clock this morning. Protesters heading to Mayor Lightfoot's house have been blocked by police. The same police.
Oh, there's the police.
Yeah, there they are, blocking them from getting to Lightfoot's house. Can't go over there and shoot any kids. Got to do it in Chicago proper. Freaking hypocritical nonsense. Anyway, you have been listening to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Cloudy, Rainy, Humid Friday Val, and
it is very hot right now, and it's getting worse by the second beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will be back on Monday.
Later.
This is a Landry Football Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
You know, a lot of this discussion about, well, it's young guys and they can deal with it and whatnot. Well, yeah, I think that the studies show that the younger you are, the less vulnerable you are to this disease. However, what is important to understand is that if you test positive and you're in a situation where you're going to have to sit out, it's going to affect your availability from game to game, team to team. Situations will vary. But nonetheless, be something that you're going to have to focus on and deal with. It's going to be chaotic in a lot of ways. It's going to look, feel, and sound different this year. Anybody's looking for a normal football season, you're going to be disappointed. That will not exist. I think everyone understands that. Can we just have football? That's what people want to know. Fans, I'm going under the assumption that probably we won't have fans, and if you can, that's a bonus. That's great. But I wouldn't count on it. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't risk it. But that's just me. There's certainly a lot of finances involved. It is extremely important that college programs get some fans in to recoup some of the losses, which are going to be significant to begin with. The NFL, same thing. The NFL has a $75 million expenditure now added. Unforeseen expenditure. And I say unforeseen if you go back like a year ago. Certainly we saw this in March and April that this is what's going to be necessary. $75 million in testing the NFL is going to spend. College football, going to be a large expense there as well on testing. In an environment where you're going to lose a large chunk of your ability to make money, and now you throw on top of it a large expense. Not a pretty situation.
The Landry Football Podcast with veteran scout and coach Chris Landry can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.